Well, I would like for you to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to consider some things, and we touched on this, I think it was last week. But we're going to spend some time in the Word regarding the beginning of the gospel. And we're going to spend some time with John the Baptist. He is probably one of my favorites. I got a number of favorites in God's Word. You probably do too. But John is really cool. He was a man, and we're going to read that, but he was a man who was, he was great before God. One of the things in looking at these records, and this is true just spending time in God's Word, is, you know, we get to see how our Father does these things, how he pulls this off, because what is happening here is it is the beginning of the fulfilling of what he had promised all the way back in Genesis 3 regarding the promised seed. It's really cool. And you just see how this works. Now, last week we spent some time and we read the record of, remember Zacharias? He was in the temple. Was that last week? I think it was last week. It was sometime really recently. But we spent some time with Zacharias in the temple, Zacharias and Elizabeth. They couldn't have a child. They were past age. And Zacharias was his turn, and he was offering incense at the time of prayers, and Gabriel shows up. Okay? And so Gabriel lays some things out before Zacharias. You know, and he opens it with, "Your prayers are heard." It's really awesome. We're just going to read a little bit about what Gabriel said. Luke chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "Your prayer is heard, you're going to have a child." 14, great joy and gladness. Verse 15, "For he," regarding this child, "shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many," this is really awesome, "and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias." This is the Greek rendering of Elijah. He would go before the Lord in the spirit and in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, of the righteous, the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." This is what John would do. He would prepare Israel for the receiving of the Messiah, the promised seed, the Christ. We're going to see that in a few minutes. But I want you also to turn down to, in this same chapter, all the way down to verse 76. A couple more things about John. Verse 76. This is part of Zacharias when his tongue was loosed, when he wrote out John, and he prophesied. And here in verse 76, this is part of what he said. "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." Isn't that something? He would do this. He would prepare these people to receive. Between the time of Malachi and John was approximately 400 years. That's something. And you can, we're not going to spend time doing it, but you can spend time in the Gospels and you can read about the spiritual state, where things were at, because of the religious leaders of the time who knew the scriptures but denied Christ. They didn't know Christ. Because it was the scriptures that testified of him. They were blind leading blind. That's who the people had for leaders. Isn't that something? And this is what John is walking into. See? And in his time, he's going to prepare the hearts of God's people to receive the Christ. And oh, does he do that? It's really amazing. Let's go to Luke chapter 3. What I want you to do, we're not going to go through all of this in minute detail, because when you compare the different gospel records, it's pretty neat. But I do want you to put a ribbon in Luke chapter 3, okay? Luke chapter 3, and then if you would, if you've got two ribbons, if you don't, sorry, put one in Matthew chapter 3, okay? Matthew chapter 3. All four of the Gospels speak regarding John. Luke adds one thing that we're going to consider very briefly. But let's start in Luke. Luke chapter 3. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, now this is many years after Zacharias' prophecy, being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene, or Abilene, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. It's not in Texas, though. Verse 2, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Okay? The baptism of repentance. Now, this word repentance, very briefly, I think most of you know this. We associate, or Christianity generally speaking, that repentance with sin, or admitting your sin. What the word really means is change. It's literally to turn, to change. John was preparing them for this change regarding the remission of sins that was coming. We're going to see that. Now, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 3, and we just get a little bit more regarding this. It's kind of neat. I'm going to start in, let's start verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's near. It's approaching. This is what he's preparing. Get ready. This kingdom is coming. Well, what does a kingdom require? A king. That's right. That's who was coming. Verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet of Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. We're going to consider this in just a moment. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him at Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their what? Confessing their sins. This is interesting. in the law, you had two instances given where the confession of sins took place. One was on the Day of Atonement, okay? And that was done for all the people, where the high priest would confess the sins of the people. The other time that would take place was with the trespass offering. And in the trespass offering, they would confess their trespass to their brother, whatever they had done in their restoration of what they had done, and the sacrifice. The confession of sins was not a part of what they did. It's interesting, isn't it? This change that was taking place was really remarkable. Because here these people were coming out, you know, all Judea, Jerusalem, to be baptized of John. Baptism's interesting too. There were ceremonial baptisms. But baptism usually only took place when a Gentile was converting to Judaism. Isn't that something? So they were doing something that was known, that was something that was done by Gentiles. There was a real change of heart taking place here. John was having a powerful impact on preparing the people to receive Jesus Christ. It's really cool. So, some things to think about with that. Let's go back to Luke. Okay. Luke chapter 3. Verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth." This is in reference to the I forget what they're called, harbingers, but they would go before a king when he was going to visit a town or whatever, and they would make sure that there were no obstacles, that everything was as prepared as possible for that king to travel without obstruction. Isn't that something? And that's what this is referencing. That's what John's ministry was doing. Okay, and this was prophesied of in Isaiah. This is taken from Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 6, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Okay. Now, we just read in Matthew that this John ate locusts and wild honey. He was dressed in whatever kind of hair and a leathern girdle. Okay. It's interesting that the word gives that description of how John dressed. Now, with this in mind, we're going to come back here, but I want you to turn. We're going to read a few verses from Isaiah 40. Okay? And while you're turning to Isaiah 40, I want you to note that Mark, the Gospel of Mark, which we're not going to turn to, but in Mark chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "As it was written in the prophets," plural. We're reading here in Luke what is quoted from Isaiah 40. But Matthew, or Mark, says, "As it's written in the prophets." There is a quote in Mark from Isaiah 40. And then there's a quote from Malachi chapter 3. Verse 1. Isn't that something? Here it's Isaiah, but he notes it's the prophets that spoke regarding John the Baptist. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. In the Septuagint, this is translated, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God, okay, which is what is quoted back in Luke. Now, I want you to look real quickly at, where do I want to go? Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. You have to pardon me for this cough. I'm just getting over something. Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Now, this is what is quoted in the Gospel of Mark. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. Whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. That's something. He is described in 2 Kings. I wanted to share this too. I'm trying to pick and choose here because this is so full. In 2 Kings, there is a description of Elijah. And the reason I bring this up is because one of the things that the angel said is that he would come in the spirit and power of who?
Elijah.
Of Elijah, that's right. In 2 Kings, there's a record, a description of Elijah, and it says he is a hairy man dressed in a leathern girdle. Isn't that something? It's interesting. There's another record in Matthew chapter 17. I want you to turn there, and then we're going to go back to Luke. Matthew 17. This is the record of Jesus Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration when he received revelation. The other men saw it too, who were with him, Peter, James, John. And it was regarding, he was receiving revelation regarding his exodus, his impending death, and what he would accomplish in Jerusalem. But after this is done, the revelation was Moses and Elijah. Okay, and that's what these men saw. Kind of interesting. But in chapter 17... and we're going to go down to verse 10. Well, let's read verse 9. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias, that's Greek for Elijah, that Elijah must come first, or must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, oh, Elijah truly will come, shall come first, and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. That's something. The fulfilling of that which the angel said would happen. And that which was prophesied in Isaiah and in Malachi regarding that one who would prepare the way for the Lord. Now I want you to go back to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Verse I get my fingers to work. All right. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In Matthew, this is this conversation that we read here took place with the Pharisees, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See? Then it reads, verse 8. Let's read 7 again. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, O family of snakes, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And this fruit, this is evidence of the change. Now, he's going to address something here. It's pretty cool. Because there's change coming. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. This is where things had gotten. That if you were of Abraham, that was it. If you believed on Abraham, you were somehow protected and saved from wrath. And what John is saying, there's change coming. See, and this is what he's telling them. It's interesting. For I say it, well, let's, verse 8, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. What else do we need? For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Mm-hmm. It's really not a big deal, fellas. That's basically what he's saying. And now, also, the axe is laid under the root of the trees. That which you rely on, that which you're looking at, it's going to get blown to smithereens. There's real change coming. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what do we do? What do we do? This is beautiful. You know what? Keep your finger here. I just want to read something from Matthew real quick. Matthew 3. I wanted to read this because it's, let's pick it up in verse 8. It says, bring forth fruits or evidence, meet or ripe for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Regarding his baptism and what his ministry was. Now, go back to Luke, and we're going to come right back to Matthew in a moment. Back to Luke. God, I hope you guys have two ribbons. Verse 10. The people asked him, saying, what do we do? And he answered and said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that has meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what should we do? You know, these are remarkable records. The effect of John's ministry on these people in turning the hearts of the fathers to their children and turning the hearts of Israel toward God. These publicans, they were the taxers. They were the ones that took the money. And they were known as thieves. They were known as dishonest. And here these publicans are saying, what do we do? Isn't that amazing? What do we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, what do we do? This is amazing. Soldiers asking this man, what do we do? Isn't that amazing? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of God. It's a huge verse. His ministry, which was to prepare the way for the Lord, which was light sprung up in darkness, it says all the people were in what? They were in expectation. Isn't that something? They turned from darkness to a heart of expecting. He had said the kingdom's coming. It's near. To the end, his ministry had such an effect that you had soldiers saying, what do we do? Publicans, what do we do? It's amazing. You know, God's in this thing. This is what the angel said. This is what he said John would do. Then he says, verse 16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I come, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. We're not going to take time to look at it, but this is in reference to the baptisms which Jesus Christ came to bring. He speaks regarding the baptism of Spirit, the Comforter that was coming. In Acts chapter 1, John indeed truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with what?
Holy Spirit,
not many days hence, see? And then that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, but there's a day coming. There's a day coming when it won't be quite so pleasant. There will be fire involved because all judgment has been committed under the sun. Isn't that something? So John is prophesying regarding verse 18. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. Then you have a parenthetical insertion here regarding Herod. Being reproved, Herod was reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done. Added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. We're going to consider that very briefly in a moment. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was what? And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily shape as a dove. I want you to turn back to Matthew because this is just, it's incredible. You know, I don't know what went on, all that went on between these two men in their hearts, but Jesus Christ knew who John was, and John knew who Jesus Christ was. It's like, this was them. This was them and the Father. You know what I mean? Them and God. You know, John was a prophet of the true God, and here is the Son of God. This is incredible. So Matthew chapter 3. Then, verse 13, cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him. I mean, picture this. John said, no. No. He forbade it. No. No. I'm not baptizing you. Isn't that incredible? I mean, just sink that in for, you know, you read these words and it's like, eh, for man, but picture it. Saying, I have need to be baptized of you. And you come to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it for now. Look at John's obedience. Allow it for now. For thus it becomes us, you and me, to fulfill all righteousness. Isn't that something? And he allowed it. And Jesus was baptized. What a record. You know, and John knew this was the Messiah. This is the promised seed. This is the prophet that was promised. And he's baptizing him, knowing that he's the one that came to bring the true baptism. Isn't that incredible? These records just blow my mind. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that something? All of these things happened when John baptized Jesus Christ. Now, when you put together the gospel records, what takes place here is Jesus goes straight in markets immediately into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? But this is not John's last interaction with Jesus Christ. You can read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, where he sees Jesus Christ again, which would have been after his time in the wilderness. And he says, that's him! That's him! Then it says the next day, he saw him again and said, behold, the Lamb of God. See? This is what he was to do. Isn't that something? And that was the day when two of his disciples went and followed Jesus. And one of them was named Peter. You hear it here? Really something. This was not the last interaction that John had with Jesus Christ. It's just amazing how these two fulfilled God's will in carrying out this gospel regarding Jesus Christ. And here we are at the beginning. I want to close in... I want you to look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. This is, by the time at which we're reading, Herod had had John put in prison. Ultimately, John was beheaded. Okay? But at this point that we're reading, John is in prison. And I want to pick it up in verse 12 of chapter 7. This is Jesus Christ here. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, I believe this was Nain. Yeah, it is, verse before. Behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Oh! And he delivered him to his mother. Isn't that remarkable? And there came a fear or a reverence on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. That harkens also back to part of Zacharias' prophecy. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the regions round about, and the disciples of John showed him all of these things. Now, John calling two of his disciples sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now, I just want to take a moment, and I want you to consider this. Are you him? Or do we look for something else, for somebody else? You know, another way this question could be phrased is, I pointed everybody to you. Are you him? He's in prison. I don't know everything that transpired, but I know John was a man. Now you could say, well, he was hearing rumors of things, which is what I thought at one time. He was just hearing rumors of things and wasn't sure who was doing this. But he sent two of his disciples. Did his disciples know who he had pointed out as Christ? Duh. Absolutely. Okay. So he sent two of his disciples. Isn't that remarkable? It's remarkable. But watch what Jesus Christ does. It's incredible. Because John, you know, he's in prison. And he never asks regarding that. Doesn't ask regarding prison. Doesn't ask regarding anything having to do with himself. He just says, asks, sends his disciples, are you him? Are you the one? Or do we look for another? Watch this. This is so awesome. The men came to him and they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto you, saying, are you he that should come? Or look we for another? Watch what Jesus Christ does. In that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. He did this first. Then answering, said unto them, you go your way, you tell John what things you've seen and heard, and how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You know what he's doing? He's just speaking them scripture from Isaiah. The deaf hear, the blind see, the oppressed go free, the prisons open, they that are not offended in me. He demonstrates who he is with the power of God and then the word. That's all John needed. Isn't that something? It's just, and that's what those men went back and gave John. This is what we saw. This is what he said. You think John was good? Oh, he was good. He was good. You know, and then you read on in this record with Jesus Christ. Well, let's just read it, because it's just good. And when the messengers, verse 14 of John, were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, much more than a prophet. And this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Isn't that something? I think that's where we'll close. The angel had said that John would be great before the Lord. Here Jesus Christ is echoing that, saying that among prophets, he's the greatest. Isn't that something? And yet, for whatever reason, John had gotten to a place where he just needed to know. Are you the one? See? And how Jesus Christ so lovingly handled it. He just cured, boom, and then you tell him this, boom, boom, and he's just citing bits and pieces from the Word of God regarding that Redeemer that would come. Isn't that something? So, anyway, that's a little bit about John. All right? So, I'm going to pray.